I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Gear of the Year this year is sponsored by Stringjoy Strings, the Nashville-based string custom shop whose innovative design, first-rate materials, and labor-intensive winding techniques mean you get literally the best possible strings every time. And Music Nomad, the guitar maintenance, care, and setup toolkit company who make the best, most high-quality, most well-thought-out kits and guides so you can keep your guitar playing as well as it possibly can. Hello, dear listener. Hello and welcome to the final of Gear of the Year 2023, the series of year-ending podcasts where guitar nerds team up with the Tone Mob and 40 Watt Podcast to determine the best guitar gear of 2023. We've done best guitar. Done it. We've done best effects pedal. Yeah, we have. We've done best amplifier stroke modeler. Yes. That leaves the only thing left to do is best overall guitar product of 2023. We're going to be discussing listeners' choice across the Guitar Nerds Patreon and the Facebook group as well. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined for Gear of the Year by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Blake Weiland.
Hello.
And Philip Carter.
Well, howdy.
Well, howdy indeed, Philip. Yes, howdy it is, because we are here. We are here at the final. We've boiled it down to 9 products. So a winner and 2 runners-up from the previous categories. Although none of that matters now. It's just they're all going into the same vat, as it were. So, yeah, so that's what we got. I think a pretty good list, pretty strong contenders this year.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. The only really sort of contentious bit was when we sort of strong-armed out what was going to be second place in the effects one last minute.
Well, the effects HX1 is always more difficult, though, because there's no bad products across the whole board, but it's much harder with effects because I think we're all closer to effects than we are guitars and amps.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Speak for yourself. I think Philip, no, I definitely am, and you probably are, Matt. I think Philip very much feels himself an amp man.
Yeah. If I could gig one guitar and 4 amps, I would do it.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think of myself as a pedal guy, but then I'm like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't know. I'm like 12 or 15 amps in here. So,
yes,
you know,
sir.
But you also released your own pedal a few times.
Yeah. Like almost as many times as I have amps, I think, now that I think about it.
There you go.
I do love pedals. I love, love pedals.
Okay, so the top 9, dear listener, that have gone through for us are the Harmony Jupiter Thinline, the Silktone Micronaut, the Boss DM-101, the PRS SEDGT, the Boss IR-2, the Meris Mercury X, the PRS Dead Spec Silver Sky, the Victory Kraken Mark II, and the Hologram Chroma Console. Now, let's put my glass down. Sorry about that. Let's take a look at the listeners' choices and see how they compared. Let's take a look at the Facebook lists first, and then we'll have a look at the Patreon list to see how they differ. We'll start with guitars. I'll talk to you about their top 3. Well,
it looks like in third place. In third place on Facebook on guitars, the Squire Paranormal Esquire. Not something that anyone really fought for when it came down to the nitty-gritty for us.
But a very cool guitar.
It is
very
a cool guitar. Mm-hmm.
There's just too many cool Squires. I think this is what you said this before, Joe, on the podcast. It's like Squire has become the brand where they just do something cool and quirky all of the time. And it's just like, they're all cool and they're all quirky and they're all the same money. So it's sort of like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that one is gear of the year, but would I buy all of them if I could? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think any of them have kind of changed the game or shook things up as much as the Squire Basics. Quite honestly, I think that was the one that was the most different.
I can tell you that we currently sell... like once we kind of taken little surveys here and there, like the our basic strings went up significantly upon the adoption, not necessarily the release, but once it got more adopted in mass when the Squire Basics became really popular. Yeah, I guarantee you that's where most of our basic strings are going.
Yeah, almost definitely. Almost definitely. But there we go. Paranormal Esquire in on third. Second, and only second by a hair. Only just not getting first place. A guitar we didn't really give that much time to. The Shergold Telstar.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I think, as you guys pointed out, Blake and Philip, maybe that's the British contingent on the Facebook voting that one up.
That might be.
I feel like it has to be because
that's the only thing that makes sense.
It's the only community that I'm a part of that has even mentioned it, to be honest.
Right. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Okay. And in first place, and only just by 1%, so 21% of the vote, went to the PRS SE DGT.
As it should have.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. Exactly. Which second place for us, so the Jupiter and the Silver Sky not featuring in the Facebook listeners group, but the DGT, second place for us, first place for them. They absolutely loved it. Now, over on the Patreon, dear listener, it was a very different story. In third place, well, I say very different story. Third place, the same guitar. Well, sort of. It was the Squire Paranormal Esquire, but it tied with the Fender Tom DeLonge Stratocaster. Huh. For third place. There you go.
Okay.
People love them invaders, I guess.
I guess so. Lots of Blink-182 fans on our Patreon. But it was third place by quite a way, because then in second place, with a whopping amount of votes, was the Harmony Jupiter Thin Line. So there you go. Mm. So there are patrons more in line with us. And in first place, can you guess?
The PRS DGT?
Absolutely. It was the PRS SE DGT. So there you go. The Patreon listeners getting way more behind the same sort of things that we were, which is pretty cool. That's how that went down.
Am I the only one looking at that switch still? I think I'm still the only one looking at that switch.
Cool. And then if we let's take a look at the amps over on amps on Facebook. I tell you what. I tell you what, the Two Rock Vintage Deluxe didn't do badly at all on Facebook. Only just, you know, well, actually, it's like fifth place, but still, there are other things that have done, you know, much worse.
Far worse.
Exactly, yeah. So
wait, hold on. It's been voted by Philip Carter, Phil Carter, and Carter McPhillip.
Oh, and 40 Watt Podcast logged in and voted as well.
So in third place over on the Facebook, the IK Multimedia Tonex with 12% of the vote, something that Blake, you especially, were a strong supporter of. There you go. That coming in third. In second place, with 24% of the vote, the Marshall Studio JTM.
Wow. Mm. People love a classic.
They do.
Exactly. Exactly. A product that, you know, didn't make it into our top three. And I voted for it. I gave it my second spot.
I'd have fought a lot harder for it if I could have got UK prices.
Yeah, I fully agreed. I honestly would have.
There we go. And in first place, by an unbelievable, securing 39% of the vote on Facebook, it was the Boss IR2.
Wow. It's great.
Yeah. There it's you great. Go. So the Boss IR2, of course, only making second place for us and being quite a contentious second as well. Mm. Over on the Patreon, let's see, how different is the story here? Well, not that different. Third place is a tie between the IK Multimedia Tonex and the Fender Tonemaster Pro.
Whoa, what?
Getting third place. Not a lot of support for us. It didn't get any points from us, but it's secured third place over on Patreon. Second place goes to the Marshall Studio JTM. Again,
okay.
So you know they know what they're talking about. Good taste there, but in first place with almost as many votes as everything else put together, the Boss IR2 absolutely storming that category.
Wow!
Yeah, and then finally, let's take a look at effects pedals over on Facebook. The way the pedals have shaken out. Goodness me, this was a contentious category. In third place, I
love
it. Place,
love controversy.
In third place, something that you guys didn't give a lot of time to, the JHS Nauticlon with 18% of the vote.
To be honest, I'm surprised it's not higher. Hmm. That feels like the kind of product that a Facebook group would pick as their gear of the year.
Right. Yeah, so I guess it's yeah, so it's the sensationalist product. That's
and there. Also recent.
Yeah, it's very exactly. recent.
Mm-hmm.
In second place, with only a percent more, 19% of the vote, our favorite, the Boss DM-101.
Nice.
With 19% of the vote, meaning that in first place, with 23% of the vote, was the Line 6 HX1.
Whoa.
Gentlemen, there you go. Wow. There you go. Slightly different story and much closer over on Patreon in third place. And for a long time, this was first place on the Patreon. This was a last minute change. The Boss DM-101, third place, only getting third. Second, and this was the one I couldn't believe, JHS Nauticlon.
Really? Wow.
Second place. People on Patreon loved the Nauticlon more than they did the DM-101. And in first place...
Y'all, it's a clon. I feel like I need to just say this. It's a clon, y'all. I love the novelty of it, but it's a clon.
Yeah. There we go. And in first place, only by one vote, is the Line 6 HX1.
Wow.
So us removing it from the list is absolutely against the listeners both on Facebook and on Patreon there.
It's in some ways, I don't know if we actually do or people do put comments, but it'd be interesting to know why people picked that, obviously. You know, some of those things like why did you pick that, or you know, how is their reasoning different from our reasoning? I think it was right for us to leave it off for the reasons that we mentioned.
But I can see why
people liked it. And like I said, if I wasn't in this, maybe I would have voted for it. If I was just going in, and maybe I'd vote for it a couple of weeks ago and we hadn't talked through a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my tune definitely changed on a variety of things, you know, as we've discussed them, right?
Yeah.
I definitely, you guys have made good arguments for the reasons for all of this. And I honestly, if somehow the Nauticlon, and I'm very complimentary of the Nauticlon. I love the story. We talked about that immensely in the last episode, and I love Josh. But if the Nauticlon had somehow ranked as high with us as it has with the listeners, I would have been very confused. And I would have been fighting way more hard. I would way rather see the HX1 in our top three than the Nauticlon. By a landslide. And I didn't really want the HX1 for the reasons that we stated. But I guess that just shows that we're weird.
I fully expect next year to see way more pedal boards with the HX1 than we see of any of the other effects we talked about for Gear of the Year.
Yeah.
But I simultaneously will tell you, it just wasn't as exciting to me.
I think that's the problem. I voted for the HX1. You know, I really thought it did have a place there. I understood the arguments against it, but I felt that the arguments against it were basically what you just said, Philip. It just, you know, you wanted something more exciting, and sometimes the best product is just the one that works the best, and that certainly does. I mean, the comments actually on the Facebook group are mostly around the HX1. Mark Adams saying, my HX1 just arrived. It's fantastic. This is the MIDI controllable pitch shifter drop tune, a whammy I've always wanted, and everything else is just a bonus. Ross Edwards saying, I sold my H9 when I got my HX1. I had the HX effects for several years, but suffered from option paralysis. The user interface is so much better on the HX1, and it's part of an ongoing ecosystem. I see it being supported for several years to come.
Yep,
it's true.
There you go. There you go. That's definitely, none of us would say it wasn't a brilliant product, but I guess.
I think I'll have one.
Yeah. When we first started talking about it, you know, and I still agree it is brilliant, but yeah. Again, I primarily go off of what I'm going to buy and what excites me the most. And so then that's not it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. So that's that then. Those are the listener picks. We've got our picks. We can use the listener picks as some sort of guide if you want. You can disregard them. Just know that they're there. That's what the people think. We've got to come up with a top three then, and there's no a special way to do this. We can assign points the same way as we did before, I guess. Matt, I'll start with you. Are there three things that are really jumping out to you, or a thing, something you want to talk about that you feel definitely has a place in its top three? Just a thing for now that you think should definitely be there.
I don't think we can ignore the DGT. For me, like I said, I think it ticks all of the right boxes at the right price. I think it's a great spec. It sounds good. Everyone who's reviewed it has loved it.
Number one choice on both Patreon and Facebook.
Yeah, I played one. I thought it was amazing. I think the gold top's awesome. I think it's a culmination of, you know, 40 years of development and learnings that have been able to make a guitar that good for that much money. I think they could have easily made that £1,000. And we may not have been talking about it as much because it kind of hit that price point, but it was still been a great guitar. I just think for, £799 English pounds, it's just, that seals it for me. But the spec, the features, the sound, like I said, I think that might be my first PRS. I think that is the one I would buy based on what everything I've seen, played, heard. And like I said, I think the listeners are onto something. You know, it's come top in those two choices as well. So I don't think we can ignore that.
Okay.
On that vein, just to reiterate something that came to me, I think the PRS DGT has taken a spot for me. It's not a guitar that I need in my life. I have way too many guitars as it is, but I think it's the new, like, perfect second guitar for, like, a guitar player. They've had the classic vibe, or they've had, you know, whatever it is they started on, Epiphone, whatever. I think the DGT is like that perfect next, the SE is that perfect next step do all guitar, and it kind of replaces a Telecaster in that spot for me.
Right, I see.
Do you know, I think I'm going to say something very similar to what I said for the Music Man when we did the Valentine, when we did the Sterling. And I said, I think they've made the guitar too good for the money. And this kind of feels the same thing. I feel that they've made it too good for the money. And I think, like you say, it's a great second guitar, and even better first guitar, especially if you're coming up the ranks in terms of playing. And it's not it's a guitar that you can project yourself onto as a player. It doesn't have a overtly kind of look or feel to it that instantly says a particular style, sound, or genre.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To me, I think you can just be your own thing on it, and I think that's really nice.
How are you feeling about this one, Blake? Because you were the most lukewarm about the DGT. You couldn't get excited for this one.
I think what Matt just said is part of why I feel so lukewarm on it. Right. It has no personality. It's just, I don't understand.
It's just an okay double humbucker guitar. That's what that's how you're thinking.
That's how I'm thinking. It looks
we're
like
sort of saying we're getting excited because PRS have made something that, you know, doesn't look like a shiny dentist dildo. You know, that's I'm gonna get grief for that.
it's one of those things where, like, you guys are convincing me, but I still think. Now this has changed because everyone has sung such high praise about it. Now, admittedly, I've never played one. And admittedly, I never would have played one prior to this conversation or these podcasts. I never probably would have asked to pick that one up. Now I feel obligated. I feel like I'm going to have to seek one out to play to see what the hype's about. But, you know, based on what we were talking about earlier, sort of along the lines with the HX1, am I excited about it? The only reason I'm excited about it is because it's a decent looking PRS at a great price point, and I know PRS makes great guitars. Just looking at it though, I'm like, it just doesn't do anything for me at all. Yeah. Like it looks fine. It looks acceptable. It looks okay. But I definitely don't share the same enthusiasm that the listeners do for it. That said, because it is almost universally recognized as being a great player, even though I haven't experienced it myself, I could be swayed into throwing a point its way, even though if I'm looking at this list, I'm going with the Jupiter all day.
Right. I mean,
fair.
Fair enough. Okay. I'm going to stay on the fence about the DGT because I see both of your arguments. I love this guitar as just like the ultimate solution. And like PRS making something that's not too much. This is a great player's guitar and I love it for that. I also see this guitar being very popular with people. Certainly it won in both our Patreons and our Facebook listeners think it's the most exciting thing to happen this year. And I'm paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
So but I see what you're saying, Blake. So I'm sort of staying on the fence on that one for now.
I don't hate it. There's no part of me that hates it at all. No, it's exactly. it's just like, it's cool.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's the DGT. That's sort of the first one that we're you know considering. Philip, have you got one that you feel needs to take a spot?
I am gonna really lobby hard. And this is where, even though I'm an amp guy, this is where I'm going to step back a little bit from like, oh, what excites me? Like the other three rounds where I got to be like, no, this is me. This is this is what excites me the most. Now we're down to what is the best thing that came out this year. I'm going to have a hard time calling an amp the best thing that came out this year.
Right.
So, because I don't see that being as sort of universal across the board. Very specifically, when you're talking amps, yeah, it's real easy for me to get real excited about that. So I'm probably going to be re-looking at, and the one that's looking at, the more we talked about it in the past episode, the DM-101. That's going to be a strong, I actually said it after I heard the demos, because I, like I said in the FX episode, I didn't get excited about it when it released. I was ready to hate it, but then I heard it. And then after I heard it, and then when the list of features rolled off the page and onto the floor and out the door for an analog delay, I was like, it's going to be a hard product to beat at the end of the year for the best thing released this year. So I'm going to throw some pretty serious weight behind the DM-101.
I completely agree with you. I kind of feel like the DM-101 has a bit of everything that we're looking for. It's partially retro. It's sexy. It's something that's new. It's very usable. It's cool. It's a progression. You know, it's moving forward with technology as well. There's so much about it that is exactly what you want from a gear of the year thing.
It's a step change in analog delay.
Right. Yeah. It's a great product. Blake, how are you feeling about the DM-101?
I think Matt could not be here and it's still going to secure a spot, I think, right, based on how we feel about it.
Let's talk about that then. The IR2 has won in the on both Patreon and Facebook. We can't not talk about this product. I feel like it's almost suffering from the same thing the DGT does, in that it's not that sexy. It's a grey pedal with some amp models on it that are on knobs instead of on a screen. Difficult to get super excited about that, but...
But for some reason, I am.
Yeah, that's great. The thing. Okay, well, that's good. Here's the thing. The IR2, I do think, you know, and I think when we talk about the winner of Gear of the Year, not just in its category, even though the IR2 didn't win in its category... I think there's a very good argument for it being the best product of 2023.
You know, it's interesting because we launched the IR200 maybe, 2021?
Mm-hmm.
No, 2020. Yeah, 2021, I think.
I think it was 2021. Yeah.
And I've got one. It's done okay. It's really good. It's got loads of options, way more options than basically any other amp in a box pedal out there.
I'm not a big fan of the 200 screen system.
But I think it's not... I just think the thing about the IR2 and the reason it's been so popular is because it's all of that in the most iconic effects chassis of
You've brought
all
a
time.
40-year-old chassis into 2023 with the most advanced technology we've got. I think that's very cool.
It's kind of like reinventing that and reusing and modernizing that Boss compact space. And that's what I really love about it. You know, I think for me, it's changing the way that we are, and I'm doing demos and in-store demos and training, you know, hopefully guitar shows in the future, because we can just put it at the end of a pedal board. And it's just easy, you know, it's easy to plug headphones in. It's easy to get a great sound. It's easy for people to be at NAMM and record a demo of a guitar pedal straight into Instagram. And the fact that for me, the cool feature for me is the fact that it saves those two sounds. It's not like a clean version and a distorted version. It is two completely different sounds. The fact that you can save settings just by pressing a switch, I think is super cool. So I think it crams a lot in for a compact, considering that pedal is, 40 years old. I think it crams a lot in.
Yeah. You want to know where I'm sorry, go ahead, Blake.
It's just like, you know, I was, for my own personal taste, more into the Tonex than the IR2. But that's just based on who I am as a player and as a person. Realistically, is this a better product for a majority of players? Because I play. I'm a nerd. I play weird. I don't play normal things most of the time, and I certainly am not out gigging every weekend. Is this a better product for most people than the Tone X? Probably. Like, probably, because you can just plug it in and go, and yeah. It's there. And you can tweak it if you need to, but you don't really have to, you know? And it also, it takes up one spot on your board.
Yes. That, you know, there's my point.
You know, that's for most people, it's going to be a better option, even though I personally prefer the Tone X. That, I mean, most people, the IR2 is a better option. What you guys have done with it is really tremendous. So I think it's got to be somewhere in here. I'm actually having a really hard time because we have a really good list of stuff here. Yeah. And I'm going to be slightly upset no matter what, because there's going to be something I love that doesn't make it on the list, regardless of how the results fall.
So I feel a little bit like the products that often make it through to this end are the products that we see longevity in, or the products we see as making a mark on the year. For example, we all thought the Silktone Micronaut was the best amp because it is an awesome piece of kit. But Absolutely. It's not going to be remembered as a 2023 release. I'm not taking anything away from it winning its category. It absolutely should. But when you do the overall, you look for a little longevity.
So I want to add this before we move away from the IR2, because I think this is going to be a really, for me, this is one of the things that's really going to be an earmark on it. At $200.
Yes.
At a low current draw for a single space pedal. Do y'all please tell me you remember the Crate Power Blocks?
Oh, yeah.
This, and I'm going to say this first, it's the new Crate Power Block in that the Crate Power Block, it made no sense at that price point for every guitarist not to own one as a backup to their amp when they gigged, because it could fit in your gig bag of your guitar and carry it with you. This is the new, smaller, lighter, more versatile, more feature-rich backup to your amp or the main amp on your pedal board. There's zero reason for every guitarist on the planet not to own this, whether as their main amp or as a backup amp.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got the most universal appeal.
Matt, does it have bass amps?
No. Sorry, Joe.
Listeners, you can't see this, but I think Joe just died a little bit.
We wanted to just keep it just for guitar players.
You just want to keep it a bit.
There's one other thing that you've touched on a little bit, Matt, and you touched on it more when we were actually talking about it. Another really important point and something that really drives it home for me as somewhere in the top three for sure. It's also a recording interface. You can plug it into your phone, stream to Instagram. You can plug it into your interface, directly into your laptop, and you're done. You can just record a great sounding guitar track with your guitar, that pedal, and GarageBand. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. I mean, then forget about like hooking your whole board up to it. Like that's absurd. That's an absurd amount of bang for the buck that you're packing in at $200.
Think about this, because it's got you. If you put it on your board and you run, I don't know, a delay or a reverb pedal in the effects loop, because you can reamp through it. That means you can also reamp through those pedals as well. So you know, it's just crazy what you can do with it. I just think it packs a lot of punch for what it is. Really, really does.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about other pedals that we feel will make a mark on the year, pedals that are a progression, you know, adding something more that we didn't have before this existed, do we feel that the Meris Mercury X has a place in this list?
I obviously do. Yeah. I think I made my case pretty strongly. The thing I like most about it is that I love reverb. I love reverb pedals. And this is the reverb pedal to get. It can do things that have never been done before, as well as things that have been done before really easily and really well. And it's hard to imagine anything topping this as a reverb pedal for years. And it's got everything that you need. And I think the reason it didn't rank higher with listeners, it didn't do well at all with listeners, is because they didn't really know. They didn't really know it. Meris fans knew, but the general public, it kind of got glossed over a little bit. And the same thing happened to the LVX last year. Last year, the LVX was kind of like, nobody really knew about it. And I really had to talk it up to get it to rank.
Yeah.
And this year, I feel the same thing is happening with the Mercury X. I think people didn't realize what it really was or is. And it's going to be a little bit of a slow burner, kind of like Philip experienced with the LVX.
Yeah.
Right. I see. Okay.
It changed. It literally changed the price point of premium reverb as well, because the CXM had sort of elevated that price point, what you expect out of it. And Marissa said, well, we can do that, but we can do that here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, we're going to talk money, because money has to be talked about, because, you know, none of us have an infinite supply. It's expensive, yes. Is it worth every penny? Probably. Almost certainly. I haven't played it, so I can't be definitive, but I'm almost certain it is.
It's hard for me. Let me put it to you this way. When I keep needing a reverb,
yeah,
I got a lot of reverbs. I'm a reverb collector. I have lots. And I open the drawer and I'm like, yeah, I need a reverb for this track. What am I going to do? And my Mercury X is already hooked up. And I go, actually, I'll grab one. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to use this reverb. And I'll go over and unplug it. And I'm like, actually, I can find that in here. Just a second. And then I can dial it right up and get exactly what I was going to get with that other pedal.
Yeah.
So I just think if you have that, you really just don't need any other reverbs. You're good.
Yeah. Yes. Fair. It is.
I think for me, it's I don't disagree with any of that, but it's in some ways I feel we're going to end up putting DM101 against the Mercury X.
Analog versus digital, baby.
It's so difficult.
Okay, so dear listener, we've been casting our votes on our screens in front of us. Remember, these can be, we can change these at any time. Matt, you are the only one who has not cast
votes. I didn't realize that everyone else had put in votes. I think I'm kind of really struggling for a first, second, and third, to be honest.
It's really tough, man. There's some good stuff on this list. It's so good.
I think, despite owning a Silktone Micronaut and loving it, and I did really, you know, really, really love it in the amp category, is it the best piece of gear this year? No. I don't know if I have a top three for both DM101 and IR2. I think I have used both, but I think I prefer IR2 more.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, I think I prefer IR2 more because of what it does and what it's done for compacts. I think I prefer the DGT over the Silver Sky. I definitely prefer the DM101 over the Mercury, but obviously if I'm not going to pick the DM101, love the Harmony, but I think the DGT is better than the Harmony. Well, haven't really talked about the Kraken, so I think for me, I'm going with this. So I'm going with Chroma Console in third, IR2 in second, DGT in first.
It's paining me not to put the Chroma Console somewhere on mine. I want to.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm surprised the Chroma Console's made it in there for you, Matt, considering the other options.
Well, I just, I love DM101, but again, the pedal I've used the most out of new Boss pedals we've launched this year has been the SDE3000. So I think I've got my own personal list of bits of gear of the year, but I'm kind of trying to think the ones that I think are going to make the biggest impact. And it could say, you know, it could be an argument to say the DGT, will people forget about it? Maybe. We could say that about anything. I definitely think the IR2 and the Chroma Console are going to be mainstays. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like the Chroma Console pop up in Reverb's list again.
Almost certainly.
Oh, yeah. Mainly because I think it'll hit the Reverb list again because it has so much appeal beyond guitarists.
Yep.
And I think that's why the Microcosm stayed on the list for so long. It had appeal way beyond guitarists.
Mm. Yeah.
The only reason I don't have it in here, honestly, is because you guys made such a convincing argument for the IR2.
Yeah.
And I have to acquiesce to the people on this one, because even though I would probably use the Chroma Console way more than the IR2, generally speaking, for most people, the IR2 is more of a game changer, I think. For guitarists specifically, and as far as I'm aware, this is the Guitar Nerd's gear of the year.
Wow. Okay. So as it stands then, dear listeners, to give you the rundown, I selected the IR2 in third, the DGT in second, and the DM101 in first. Matt has gone for the Hologram Chroma Console in third, the IR2 in second, and the DGT in first. Philip has gone for the DM101 in third, the DGT in second, and the IR2 in first. Blake has gone for the Mercury X in first, the IR2 in second, and the DM101 in third, which actually, as it stands, means that Philip has got this year's Gear of the Year bingo, because exactly his third to first is how this has panned out points-wise. It means that in third place would be the Boss DM101 with 5 points. In second place would be the PRS-SE DGT with 7 points. And by just 1 point, and with the only person voting it their favorite piece of gear of 2023, which was Philip, with 8 points, the Boss IR2. That's how it stands. Oof. IR2, DGT, DM101.
I'm amazed because... You know, IR2, when I finally got one and I really spent a lot of time with it, I'm like, this is really cool. And I think it's going to be a great game changer for how I do demos, how my team do demos, for people using it in store, for loads of stuff, and to bring all that into a compact. But I had no idea that people would love it as much as they did, considering that, yeah, we launched it on the 30th of November.
Yeah.
And it's been... everywhere, you know, people are talking about it everywhere, and I kind of see the same with the PRS DGT. You know, if I sort of put it into YouTube, like the amount of people that have done videos on it, it's been great. And I think the DM101 to me has done, even though I didn't vote for it, I mean, as we talked about in the effects episode, really done a lot for putting itself at the flagship point and then saying to other builders, come on, build something better, because that's what it's about. You've got to build something better, so you've always got something else to aim for. So I'm kind of happy with that top three, even though one of my votes didn't make a difference. But I'm kind of into it.
Yeah. I mean, it does mean that the two things I didn't mention, dear listener, is the other two products that received votes were the Hologram Chroma Console with one lone point from Matt, and the Mercury X with 3 points, all from Blake, just outside of the top three, but still, you know, top five, fourth. But nonetheless, what we're talking about is our number one and our two runners up, which means double turn up for Boss, which I'm sure you'll get plenty of fleck about, Matt.
That's all right. I'm not on social media, so it doesn't matter.
But yeah, it means that, in line with our listeners, then we would be putting the Boss IR2 and the DGT, two products that our listeners viewed as being the best in their category, at sort of the top of our list. So we've sort of ended up in line with everyone. How do we feel about that as the list? Philip, I guess you're happy.
I'm going to add Tastemaker to my resume.
Okay. I'm surprised I didn't see more. I mean, you know, everyone except Matt voted for the DM101, but I'm surprised to see it only getting a point from Blake and Philip. I thought more people would be excited about that.
I flipped the IR and the DM101. Once I really started thinking about use case and, you know, and how.
That's it.
Yep. I tried to the best of my ability to. I know I voted a lot on excitement, and that's how I usually vote.
Yeah.
Which is why the DGT got no points from me. And I'm more excited about the DM101. But the I just don't think there's any way around the IR2 not being the more important release, right. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, dear co-hosts, I think we have a top three. The Boss DM101 in third place, the PRS SEDGT in second place, and the Boss IR2 in first place. Meaning that we do, technically, have an amp, a guitar, and a flex pedal in our top three.
We got a whole rig. This is the rig of the year.
We're going to get roasted for this, calling this an amp. Oh, man.
Yeah, we are. We are.
I love it. I bring it on.
I hate it, but it is what it is.
I tell you what, if Joe buys me a PRS DGT, I can actually play that rig. Now, that is...
there you go.
I'm in.
The IR2 has won overall product of the year, despite the fact that it didn't win its category, which just goes to show, I guess.
That's because it's not the best amp. Yeah. It's not.
No, that's true. The Micronaut's a better amp because it's an amp.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, there it is then, dear listener. That's the top three, the DM101, the DGT, and the IR2 are the Guitar Nerds, the Tone Mob, and 40 Watt Podcasts. Favorite gear of 2023. Thank you very much, dear listener, for listening to us waffle on across what has been almost 7 hours, I guess, around 7 hours of of podcasting across the last 4 days. We actually did this in across 2 days, so feel for us, dear listener. We're our throats are sore and we're exhausted, but team Philip, Blake, it is always wonderful to have you join me and Matt over here on Guitar Nerds for Gear of the Year. The last 2 years that we've been doing this have been absolutely fantastic. I feel like we've had the best Gear of the Years we've ever had.
It's a lot of fun. And if anyone disagrees, you're welcome to yell at me on social media. You can find me on Instagram at Guitar Nerds. And
I mean, you can. Yeah, it's great. You can yell at me all you want and I won't care.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to the end then of Gear of the Year, dear listener. Thank you very much for listening. This is also the last Guitar Nerds podcast of the year. So have yourself a wonderful holiday, whatever you're doing. The Guitar Nerds will be back in January. Matt and I will return. And what are you guys doing? Do you guys take a break? Philip, do you take a break for 40 Watt?
I do. So my season wrapped up on my birthday, which was back on December 7th. So season 4 will be launching. I don't have a hard date, only because I normally try to launch right at the end of February. I like to give myself that, the holidays, and then like January to schedule things. But also NAMM is happening in January again, and I'm going to be in California. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
Ah, excellent. Blake?
No breaks over here.
Wow, you go straight through.
I go straight through, and no rest for the wicked. I've got some good episodes stacked up, and yeah, I'll just keep releasing them as normal. I did 3 episodes last week.
Wow,
my goodness. Yeah. With more energy than I. Well, thank you guys very much for joining us. Dear listener, thank you for listening. We'll be back next year with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye. Bye.
Adios.
Well, that's it. You've done it, dear listener. You've completed it. The end. The finisher, the conclusion, the finale, the end of Gear of the Year and of Guitar Nerds podcasting for 2023. Well done. You made it all the way to the end. Good for you. Good on you. Great job. Excellent work. Fantastic. You right there. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. You've done it. You've even listened past the intro music to the end. The real end. The ending of ends. The end. The end. This is the end. This is the end.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.